Okay, welcome back. I hope everyone enjoyed lunch. Many thanks to all of our sponsors, in particular our presenting sponsors today, who are AdSwizz, Triton Digital, and Audioboom. Our next presentation is by Kurt Hansen, founder and publisher of Rain News, the leading trade publication for the online audio industry. You can subscribe to our daily headlines email by scanning the QR code on your agenda. And now about Kurt. Kurt is widely considered to be the first and foremost pioneer and advocate for the online audio industry. He started RAIN, Radio and Internet Newsletter, in the late 90s, before most of us had even heard of streaming, or smartphones, for that matter. He started hosting RAIN Summit shortly after that. And in the U.S., they've been going on for 14 years. No one knows more about our industry than Kurt. Here to present his updated, signature, state of the industry talk, Kurt Hansen.
I can bring on the lights. As Jennifer said, is something I have been doing for many years now, and the title is supposed to be a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but half and half nowadays. My background, for those of you who, we're meeting for the first time today, my background is I've been working in radio since high school, back in the days when the Carpenters and Deep Purple were side by side on the record charts. I started writing RAIN almost 15 years ago to the day, and during the first couple of years of RAIN, we did a series of articles about how to build a personalizable online radio station, kind of inspiring our readers to do the same. And that has turned into a product called AccuRadio, which I will talk more about in a couple of minutes. My shtick in these presentations is to usually fill them full of 60s pop culture references, like Star Trek or The Prisoner or The Avengers. And this year, I'm not going to try to not do it, but I couldn't, because we're in London, not put up Steed and Mrs. Peel. The theme I want to talk about is that there is a transition going on right now in how media is consumed, and that specifically how that trend shows itself is what consumers are looking for is a deep variety, personalizable product. And we see this in all sorts of different industries. There's a transition in media usage in newspapers where readership in the last three decades has gone down by half. We're seeing it in magazines where weekly readership of magazines has gone down by a quarter in the last decade. We're seeing it in recorded music, where the lush days of the CD are declining and people are transitioning to a deep variety, personalizable subscription-type product. We're seeing it in videos, as video stores are closing and people are switching to an online product that has deep variety and instant accessibility. We're seeing it in books, where bookstores are closing and people are switching to buying a product, an online bookstore with almost infinite variety and almost instant accessibility. One of my favorite media is coffee, which is a non-traditional medium, I guess. But you see the same trend going on there, where people are switching from the big pot of coffee that's brewed every couple of hours to individual K-cups, where people are getting much wider variety and they're getting kind of their personal choice and instantly available. So same theme going on all over the place, including in radio. Now, this is just a moment in time. I want to step back and put this kind of in a historical context. Radio has been around almost 100 years, and the music industry commercial radio started launching in the early 1920s. Music purchases have been going on almost that long. And in our lifetimes, many of us have seen LPs and the launch of FM and 45s and stereo LPs. We've seen FM finally take off. We've seen cassettes and CDs and MP3s. We've seen DAB come online and satellite radio in the U.S. In a couple other countries. Internet radio starting to happen. And now smartphones and this subscription music. All of these are kind of, it's a continuum that's going to continue. So what we're talking about here is this moment in time. And I've got some data. A lot of my data I'm going to show you is from the U.S. for a couple of reasons. One, there's just a richer set of data available. And secondly, online radio is, I think, a little bit ahead of most other countries thanks to a law that was passed in 1998 that has kind of established the legality of personalizable online radio. The royalty rate is set by the Copyright Office every 5 years. Courts have determined that you can have a certain level of interactivity and personalization and still qualify as radio. And as a result of this, I think we're seeing, I can quote you some trends we've seen in the U.S. in recent years. And I don't mean to be overly U.S.-oriented, but I think it's a bellwether of what you will see in your countries coming up. So that's why I'll use some of this data. As a result of that law and the associated activity that's a part of it, we have a very rich lineup of online music and online radio nowadays. Between satellite and aggregators and linear radio and crowdsourced radio and personalizable radio, it's a very rich tapestry. Well, what's going on in terms of data is that for several years now, AM/FM radio has been declining in audience about 5% or 6% a year. And I believe that's going on in some other, certainly it's going on in Canada and several of your other countries as well. Now, this is not reach. This is average quarter-hour audience, which is kind of derived from how many hours per week the average consumer listens to radio. Reach is holding. Time spent listening is declining. And the trend kind of looks like this in the big markets over the last 5 years. Meanwhile, online radio is growing about 15 or 20% a year, and I suspect that's going on where you live as well. This is the latest Triton Digital Webcast Metrics report that Brad published in Rain. This is the last 5 years' worth of tracking where this line is Pandora, which is kind of the best example worldwide today of personalizable online radio. These other lines are primarily AM/FM broadcasters trying to do streaming. And as you can see, they're growing marginally, but the big action when people can get a deep variety personalizable product that's well-branded and well-marketed, they embrace it. The whole medium is going up, though. This is what listening looked like month by month in 2012. That's 1.1 billion hours of listening a month to streaming audio in the U.S. This is 2013, this is 2014. So as you can see, it's growing about 15 or 20% a year. That number, to put it in another sense, 1.8 billion hours of listening is an average quarter-hour audience of about 3 million people, which is about, I think, broadcast radio's AQH is about 25 million people in the same geography. So that's a pretty significant number. If you overlay these two trends, the top line is hours per capita of AM/FM listening. The bottom line is hours per capita of internet radio listening, online radio listening. You'll see this. Here's 2014, and it looks like the lines are going to cross in a few years. Today, online radio in the U.S. is about 1/6 to 1/5 as big as FM. You can see that by the position of the two green arrows, the green and the blue arrow there. A recent study by a firm called Edison Research, they had released a study this spring called Share of Ear, where they looked at how, kind of similar to what Jonathan showed us today. And you can see, I've circled that of all audio usage, if you take internet radio at about 12% and AM/FM radio at about 52%, internet radio is about 16% of that total. Very similar, and I think from what I saw of Jonathan's charts, it looked pretty similar actually here. So at those rates, it looks as if online radio's audience will equal and maybe eventually supersede AM/FM's audience in about 8 years. I'll show you the math. I've been talking about this was going to happen for a long time, but I haven't been able to put a number to it until very recently. But here's the math. According to that share of ear study, the average respondent in that survey listened to AM/FM radio about 14.9 hours a week. That's a little bit higher than Arbitron or Nielsen comes up with, but let's use it. It's declining about 6% a year, and if you project that over 8 years, the average consumer will in the U.S. will listen about 9 hours a week to AM/FM radio. So let's compare that to online radio, which is at 2.9 hours a week now, according to that survey. If you assume it grows at 15% a year for 8 years, then in 8 years, it's at 9 hours a week. So that's the point where the lines cross, seems to be 8 years-ish. But that's at current rates. That's This phrase is important because the rates of change may change. Two primary reasons. One, smartphones. Smartphones, as you know, have become the everything device used for a plethora of things, a huge amount of the time around the world. I just got back from a trip to Asia where I wanted to see what the latest in modern phone electronics was, and the answer was the iPhone 5, iPhone 6. But it's ubiquitous. And as it becomes more ubiquitous, as they get better and more powerful and more ubiquitous, these lines, the slopes of the trends may change further. Then secondly, online radio, as we've discussed earlier today, is rapidly getting into the car. You can't buy a new car that doesn't have pretty good ability to get online radio into the sound system. And as that becomes more ubiquitous, that's going to change. That could change the slope of the line as well. Now, let me switch gears and switch sides of the stage and talk about advertisers for a moment. Advertisers are embracing this as well. And they're embracing it in the U.S., and they're probably embracing it in your country as well. They're embracing it for several reasons. They're embracing it because online radio, especially online-only radio, has very short stop sets, maybe typically only one spot per break, which is much more effective for the advertiser. Targeting, the ability to target by gender or age group or location, very valuable to the advertiser. Synchronized visuals can add a lot to an audio ad campaign. And as you heard on that earlier panel this morning, new types of ad units. I think we heard that in a couple different panels. New, interesting, creative, effective types of ad units can be delivered via online radio. Well, as we saw in that Blue Arrow earlier, the leader in this is Pandora. A neat thing about Pandora is if you want to plan what you're doing for your business, you've got almost full access to their financials and their historical performance because they're a public company, so they file this form every quarter, and it's available online, and you can learn all sorts of stuff about how they built their business. It's very educational, all sorts of detail. We can see from their most recent form that their revenues for the last quarter were about $240 million. So that means their annualized revenues are almost $1 billion a year right now. This is primarily advertising. Advertisers are happily embracing this. Now, even though broadcasters are seeing this, many broadcasters are resisting it. And this was called a phrase that came up a lot at the RAIN Summit at the NAB-RAB radio show in Indianapolis 2 months ago. Panelists kept calling it's a reticence to jump in on the part of broadcasters. Well, this makes sense. There's a great couple of books that you may know called The Innovator's Dilemma and The Innovator's Solution by an author named Clayton Christensen, Harvard University professor. And he says this reticence to jump in is common and rational short-term in all sorts of industries. Legacy firms like their existing business model, the one they grew up with. They like a business model that uses the assets they have. And they see these trends happening, and in the short run, it doesn't make sense to jump in. But when they do jump in, it's often too late. So if you are working for a legacy firm, I guess I'm proselytizing here for you to jump in earlier rather than later. And you can use these numbers as a bellwether for what may happen in your market, and I'd encourage you to do it. Broadcasters would, as I said, typically like to keep using their old business model, but if consumers want a deep variety, personalizable product, well, you can't do it. The only way to deliver this really effectively is online. So we've seen legacy firms in the U.S. try to protect their existing business model with the U.S. version of DAB called HD Radio, which is a kind of an odd solution that no one else in the world is using. It's having problems. It's being now even dropped by some car models. It's got some problems because they picked a name that's a misnomer. It's not high-definition radio. It's not, the HD doesn't stand for anything, which is a bad starting point. It's an unwieldy channel numbering system. You have to dial an existing FM frequency and then switch to a sub-frequency of that frequency. So if you like smooth jazz, if you can find it, it's at 94.9-HD3, which is not working very well. These are called secret channels, and they're just way too secret. In your various markets, it's being marketed with different DAB logos. And that's a joke. Thank you. And I think you're in most markets, it's working less effectively than was hoped because it's not consumer-driven, and it's not consumer-driven for one problem. FM delivery is great. It's wonderful fidelity. It's a lot of variety. It's on, you know, consumers own billions and billions of dollars worth of devices that get this. And that's slowing down the adoption of digital broadcasting and doesn't really allow the deep variety or the personalization that that online does. Now, there's another thing going on. This is the UK efforts to develop hybrid radio, which I believe is putting up an FM and or a DAB chip into smartphones. And it may be happening in your market as well. And it is happening in the US probably ahead of any other market with an initiative called Next Radio. The idea is to put in, it's a industry-wide initiative to put an FM, to activate the FM chip in smartphones. And they've been doing it for a year. They're paying a lot of money to get the FM chip activated in Sprint Android phones. So Sprint is, I think, the third largest carrier in the US, and Android, I think, sells more units than iOS. And it's been going on for a year. They've had almost a million app downloads on this. So let's see how it's doing, and then you can use this to see if you want to put efforts to do this in your market. Well, after a year's worth of doing this on Sprint Android devices, the average user uses the app for 80 minutes. Now, that's not 80 minutes per week. That's 80 minutes total. It's a little bit unfair because these are still being used by the most recent downloaders, and that number may, you know, it's not as if the project is over yet. So it may go up a little bit, but so far, to date, 80 minutes. More importantly, it's the press releases say they've had over 870,000 hours of listening to the app. Well, that sounds pretty good, right? But let's go to a calculator and figure out if that's good or not. That's cumulative. So if you take this month's press release against last month's, it got 240,000 hours of listening in the last month. I think that was maybe September or August for this data. Well, most of that would be 6 a.m. to midnight. I'm going to try and get an AQH out of this. Then there are 18, divide that by 18 hours in a day and about 30 days in a month, and you learn that the average quarter-hour audience of the entire all Sprint Android devices after a year's worth of effort is 395 people. Divided by 250 million person population, that means the average city with a million person population, the AQH of Next Radio is 1.6 listeners. It's not a 1.6 rating, that's 1.6 listeners. Divided up by maybe 16 FM signals, that means it's increased the average station's AQH by 0.1 person. Well, is that celebratory? Maybe not. The reason, I think, is because this is a solution, being trumpeted at least, or promoted as a solution to two problems that from a consumer point of view are non-existent. The first one is that conserves battery power. Well, most consumers have figured out, particularly young people, have figured out how to buy a phone and adapt to get through the day with the battery they have. If people needed more battery, smartphone providers would add another ounce to their phones and add more battery. And then secondly, and maybe more importantly, it uses less data is the big pitch. But let's, again, do the math. I have calculated for the typical stream bitrate of online radio, if a person, you know, when they're in a Wi-Fi environment, doesn't count, doesn't use data. So let's say they need an hour a day of data plan to listen to radio. It only uses 0.4 gig per month of bandwidth. Well, at current pricing in the US, and I checked there's a few websites here as well, it looks as that's maybe $1.50 a month, £1 a month. And some providers like T-Mobile are offering radio free now, so it's not a big problem. There's another argument, better reception, which here that I don't understand, and during cocktails. Maybe you can explain that one to me. At any rate, the heart of it is I think people don't want to use a $600 device to be a $20 transistor radio. If they paid, this is worth $600. It may be purchased on a payment plan, but it is a $600, $1,000 value piece of electronics, and people want to use it for that purpose, to do the things it can do, which include listening to radio stations from around the world or personalizable radio. And they want to use apps, and they want to use streaming. And when they're given the opportunity to not, they don't take up the offer. They want that deep variety, personalizable product. Well, there are great opportunities there are great opportunities on online radio that exist in the U.S. and even greater opportunities in your market because you don't have Pandora yet. So there's vast opportunity here. There's opportunities first, and I'm going to describe four of them. There's an opportunity where you could build a multi-genre brand of personalizable radio. And if someone's ahead of you, then you just pick a differentiated position. You could differentiate by target demo. You could differentiate by the user interface. You could differentiate by an attribute of what you offer or how it's produced. This is what we're doing with AccuRadio, where we have picked the usage situation of Workday, and that's our kind of differentiation from Pandora. We're going after a much older, they're a younger mobile audience. We're going after a much older at-work audience with almost 1,000 personalizable channels of classical and jazz and Broadway and country and pop standards and classic rock and things like that. So it's stuff from the 50s and 60s and 70s and more recently, but it's all kind of aimed at that older demo. And then you can personalize it with skipping songs and rating songs and blending channels together and things like that. We developed this. I told you it came out of RAIN. It was meant to be kind of a demo project, and we are happy to work. If you've got a product for broadcasters or you need a beta user, we'd be happy to be a beta user for you. If you're a broadcaster trying to learn a little bit about this, we'd be happy to share what we know with you. So that's the multi-genre brand. You could also be a genre specialist. You could focus on folk music, or as Ari Shahad is doing, focus on electronic music. You could focus on bluegrass. You could just pick a genre and be the expert in that. You could do something extremely local that has not successfully been done with a multi-channel brand that I have seen, but I think it's doable. Or you could do something international. There's loads of opportunities both in your market, or if you don't like your market, you could pick a different market. Maybe you find the royalty situation is more favorable in Australia, and you know that won't cannibalize your listeners. Then consider Australia. Loads of opportunity in all of these areas. So I have to, for time saving, skip one topic. And in conclusion, remind you that at the current rate, online radio's audience in your market will exceed AM/FM's in not too many years. This is everything I've showed you is a bellwether of what's going to happen, of things that are happening in your market right now, and you might as well get ahead of it if you can. I'm urging you to consider that what the consumers want is a deep variety, personalizable product. You're able to give it to them. It's part, think of this on this continuum and take advantage of, you're here, what's kind of what's coming, and build for the future, and I think you can ensure the success of what you do. And I think it's an exciting future, and I look forward to being part of it with you. And that's this year's State of the Industry. Thanks. And for the first time ever, I've got time for a couple of questions, if you like. Anybody want to ask or comment or debate? Or we can do this over cocktails later. Anyone?
Can you explain why Pandora is so successful?
Pandora is so successful for a variety of reasons. It's a well-done product. They invested $30, $40, $50 million of it before they saw a penny into it before they saw a penny in revenues. It was the first non-line extended brand of personalizable radio. There had been previous brands, but it was like Yahoo Radio or AOL Radio. Line extensions don't work as well as a singularly focused brand name. So great, a well-developed product, non-line extended brand name, great PR strategy behind it. All of those things came together.
And they saw the mobile opportunity.
And they stumbled into the mobile opportunity. They didn't know, they had no idea the iPhone was coming when they launched. And that really took them over the edge. Good point, Jennifer. Anything else? Yes?
Do you want to talk about Spot Mode versus Pandora versus
Amazon? Sure. Spot. Yes. I think on that quadrant of what advertisers like, the first quadrant was Spot Mode. They're only running 3 or 4 units an hour, and they're typically only running 1 or occasionally 2 units per break. And A, that's great for advertisers. That's how they're doing annualized $1 billion in revenue. But B, that's how they get that's a huge attraction to consumers. Over in the U.S., stations are now typically running 2 8-unit breaks an hour. And it's so much more appealing than an 8-unit spot break that I think that's been a broadcaster's played right into the hand of it being good for Pandora. That's another good point, Patrick.